You're listening to K Hum, and this is Bailey Brown. I'm sitting in the theater. What exactly do you call this one exact room in the theater?
This is the concessions lobby.
Okay, so it's one of my favorite places next to where the actually sitting in the theater part then.
Is where the wine is, so.
There's two people you hear right there is director Daniel Kennedy and then also Warren Hardison, who plays the lecturer in the production. And we're talking about Reefer Madness, the musical, which has been going on for just about a month. At the closing weekend, runs Thursday night through
Tomorrow.
Saturday. It's like $18 and pretty sweet. So Reefer Madness, the musical, it was written in like 1998, and it's like a spoof on that propaganda film that we all know.
Yeah, the original film was supposedly released in 1936, but even that is kind of hidden to us. There are some people who say it was released in 37. There's some people who argue it wasn't released until as late as 1940. So we don't know that much about the original movie, other than it was this kind of exploitative, over-the-top representation. It wasn't initially meant to be taken seriously, but some people who were maybe ignorant or naive took it seriously and took it a little bit too far. And that's one of the things that what Studney and Murphy did was they took the interpretation of taking it too far and took that too far and made it ridiculous and over the top and hilarious.
And added a couple musical numbers to it too.
Well, that's what marijuana makes you do, is it makes you burst out in song and joy. That's the one thing that is really true that is depicted here on stage.
Gotta watch out for those singing, dancing high people. Yeah, like a church, like people say, like maybe a church group started the movie, and then it was like rediscovered in the 70s.
Yeah, they've actually there's actually like I don't want to call them conspiracy theories, but there's really a lot of like analysis as to like where it could have come from or who made it or what. They're like, oh no, that the poster that's up in that background wasn't even published till 1945 or something like that. It's the amount of analysis that was kind of behind it was staggering and really amusing for a pretty short, shakily filmed movie.
And there's a lot of disinformation, even from the people who made the film. One of the original producers of the film back in the 70s, I think it was in 74, testified before the Arizona Supreme Court and said that the federal money actually gave, or the federal government gave money to fund this film. And there's no proof of it other than his testimony. A lot of people think that he perjured himself just for the sake of saying that the government was involved with this film.
Maybe he was on the reefer.
All right, so I can already tell because I'm seeing the play. Whenever you guys are all hearing this on the radio, it'll be tonight. But yeah, you guys like hardcore have a lot of fun with this.
Oh, you have to, because the kind of misinformation that we hear from the other side is just so ridiculous. Even today, there is a gentleman who is the head of the Stop Pot 2016 Political Action Committee here in California. His name is Edward Morgan. And he recently said this just this past April that almost all the mass murders we've had in recent years, the person has been a heavy marijuana user because it changes the brain. Even the radical, and I'm quoting, Islams are doing it. That's how they change the motivation of younger people, is they give them marijuana. So even today, we're hearing people just come up with ridiculous kind of boogeyman scenarios where they're saying, ooh, pot is going to steal our children away from us, and it is this terrible menace. So we have to look at that and laugh. Otherwise, you're just going to bang your head against a wall.
Who did that quote again?
That was Edward Morgan. He's a local businessman in Southern California, and he's the head of Stop Pot 2016.
The people who are working against the bill that's coming up for.
Yes, people who are working against the Adult Marijuana Use Act, I believe.
All right, well, the play, for those of you unfamiliar with it, it just talks about the downward spiral into evil jazz music, sex and violence that.
And we have lots of all of those things. We have a very degenerate cast that is more than happy to play out these evil fantasies brought on by marijuana.
That was one of the real challenges of the show, was to be able to cast. We had to look for some really depraved people, some people who just were morally sick. And we were very fortunate in being able to find that, especially here in Warren.
Oh yeah, because you play the lecture.
Oh yeah, it's actually the and the over the top campiness is readily apparent once you get past the first, like, you hear the lecturer speak first, and it actually, and this is really hard to do because he had to sound like somebody who not just genuinely believed the story, which I actually don't think he does, but was finding a way to use it to control people. That's mostly what the show is about, is how those messages can be used to try to control people and control how people think, even though they're as laughable as you'll see in our show, marijuana turns you into a depraved murderer of, you know, various animals and people.
Yeah, although the one of my personal favorites in the show is when marijuana makes you fall in love with your own mother. That it's just one of those moments where it really shocks the audience.
You seem extremely connected, both of you, to this. Is this why you decided to have this as the first play that you direct?
Oh, yeah. I've been very passionate about this show since I first saw it, and I've been poking the executive director of the theater, Michael Thomas, to do this show for about 8 years now, and this year he finally acquiesced, and I was very fortunate to be on board.
How long have you been involved in theater?
Oh, almost 25 years now, between acting and stage managing and assistant directing, and this is my first show directing. It's been a lot of fun.
Will you direct again?
Hopefully.
And this is your third production?
Yeah, this is only my third show. I was in Frindale Repertory's Legally Blonde last summer, and then I was in this winter's Dos Barbecue here at North Coast Repertory Theater. But this is by far the hardest role I've had to do, because finding just the right attitude for the lecturer to make him, to make him both absurd and real at the same time was very challenging. And, I could always see Daniel's face, when I would slip out, because it has to be maintained. And I could see his face when I was starting to get like, cause I naturally like smile and everything when I'm talking, and the lecturer has no humor in him. And so I could always see Daniel's face when I was sliding. I'd have to like grip back onto it and focus, which can be hard to do when you're telling people, when you're explaining step by step how a quote unquote brownie could get somebody addicted back to marijuana, as if it's like this magical thing that they never would have thought of, that a brownie could contain marijuana. And I have this whole like spiel about it, and to say that without, you know, breaking and still maintaining this really stern evangelical character while the crowd's hooting and hollering and, you know, making these big dramatics like, oh, you don't say, kind of reactions is really tough.
Oh, edibles. Dun, dun, dun. Gotta watch out for those.
No, Warren does a really great job of not only just continuing to sell his character as this person who doesn't necessarily believe everything that he's saying, but is trying to take advantage of the situation, and keep it straight-faced, even though he's sitting there talking about how marijuana leads to homosexuality and prison. And everyone in the audience is going absolutely wild. Warren has that absolute sincerity that you would expect from a polished politician.
Well, you have to stay in character. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
You become that for just a moment.
And, I mean, the rest of the cast, too, is it just knocks it out of the park with, because it's a very high energy show. It's only broken up a couple of times by the lecturer thinking he's dispensing some key bit of knowledge. But from start to finish, everybody is go nonstop, and to be able to really present these caricatures in a way that gets the kind of reactions we're looking for takes a lot of skill, and everybody on this cast just maintains that constantly throughout the whole show. It's amazing.
What sort of advice would you be given? Would you give to people who are coming this weekend?
It's okay to laugh at pretty much everything. We get like stunned silence for a second because they don't know, they haven't yet figured out that we're being silly or we're parodying a parody. And so we get a lot of these, like, I can sometimes see, especially during the first act, where they can't tell if I'm joking or if I'm being serious when I'm talking about the reefer madness and what it does to people. So if you're coming to the show, just we're trying to entertain you. It's okay to laugh and hoot and holler and
yeah, that kind of audience participation is completely encouraged. And even if you want to, you know, come and hiss at the bad characters or, you know, have any other sort of release, every now and then a person throws out a line at Warren that he has to deal with as the lecturer and is, hey, settle down. Because the crowd gets a little rambunctious, and that's okay. We want everyone to have a good time and have a lot of laughs.
Awesome. And don't forget that it's going on 8 p.m. This whole weekend, Thursday through Saturday, which for you all listening to this is tonight, and it's $18. So come on out and check it out. It's like a musical satire of a melodrama, which is awesome.
it's so surreal. Oftentimes people come out after seeing it and they say, I don't know what I saw, but I liked it.